Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shop all things Jerry Johnson at TheRealJerry.com.
Welcome to Jerry's World.
The only podcast coming through your beat stereo is Jerry's World, so let's go around like a merry-go. Plug your phone in, make sure it got a full battery. Download it Wednesday, listen to it Saturday. She cover all topics, whatever you after. She got ball players, authors, doctors, actors, rappers, singers, entrepreneurs, divas, leaders. Androids or Apple, turn up your speakers. Trying to shoot my shot like the vaccine. Whether it's Cherry or Maxine, whether the podcast or acting, she that queen. PYT, you know what that mean. Saw you on TV and touch the screen. Touch on you, I plead Lucy's got a crush on you. It'll mean the world to get a blush from you. Teaspoon to me, leave you sleep like Robitussin do.
So I'm really excited to introduce our guest today because Hollywood is a really funny place and most people are really inconsistent, and when you see them, you never know what you're going to get. Well, my homeboy is in the house today. And my homeboy is consistently genuine. He's been the same person since I met him in the 90s that he is today. We got a true hip-hop legend in the house, y'all. Mr. Razzcaz is here. And he is coming to talk to us about his book, Soul on Ice. So please give a warm welcome to my homeboy, Razzcaz.
What's up, y'all? This is your boy, Razzcaz, representing the city north of Long Beach, southwest of Compton, CRSN. But right now, it ain't about me. It's about my sister, my homegirl. I love her to death. I'm in Cherry's World. Yeah, no.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherrysworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard.
Saria here, Chief Green Alchemist at Going to Natural. Do you know it takes less than 30 seconds for your skin products to enter your bloodstream? Yeah, so knowing what's in them, super important. We know you want what's best for you and your family. And here at Going to Natural, so do we. We care about the environment, we care about the animals, and most importantly, we care about you. We offer free support for your healthy journey and love providing affordable, all-natural products that are responsibly sourced, cruelty-free, luxurious, and always made with love. We're not just a shop, we're a community, and we'd love to have you. Browse our collection of plant-based skincare products and natural tips and tricks at shop.goingtonatural.com. That's shop.going2natural.com.
A conscious brand for a conscious community.
Use code LOVEEARTH for 15% off your first order.
That Razzcaz is having his 20th anniversary.
Yep.
In the music business.
Congratulations on that. Thank you.
What'd it do?
I'm in Atlanta at Patchwork Studios. We had a panel with a wonderful lady named Wendy Day. So me and her discussed, Wendy has Rap Coalition, so she helped a lot of artists from UGK to David Banner to myself, Cash Money, Deluxe, whatever. She would help artists who were in bad record deals. So anyway, we did a panel with her. I'm out here for A3C in Atlanta right now. So it's nice.
Cool.
I love it. Raz, that's Courtney. Courtney, that's the homie Raz.
What up, bro?
What's going on, brother?
Big fan. What's happening?
Man, thank you, brother. I'm blessed. Just chilling.
Before we get into it, I just have to say, Raz, I'm so excited to see you. And I have to say thank you, because in all the years that we've known each other, you're one of the most sincere and genuine people in Hollywood that I've ever met in my life, and you're consistently genuine.
Thank you so much. You are, too. You're awesome.
Thank you. I love that.
Okay, can I ask this? How do you all know each other?
Tell her.
Raz and I had a groupie in common. Can we say that? I was going to say a mutual friend, but I don't know. Is it still your friend? It's not my friend.
Not my friend.
Okay, so we had a mutual groupie in common that we both thought at the time probably were our friends. And we got introduced.
Yeah.
A groupie in common. All right. Whatever it takes, huh?
I don't know how else to explain it. Am I wrong, Raz?
Nah, you're not.
Yeah. And I ended up like getting to kick it with Raz a couple times because of the groupie. And then I got to... Where's Blue?
Yep. Stupid Blue.
Where's Blue? So Raz is cousins with Blue. And
Blue Da Vinci, BMF.
Yeah, okay. Blue Da Vinci. So,
yeah, that's my cousin. That's little cousin.
So they were always together. And so I ended up like playing with Blue. And I can't say playing because people will take that wrong. But like I thought I was a boy at this time. I didn't even realize I was a girl. When I first realized I was a girl was actually Raz had a white homeboy. You remember your homeboy, Raz? The big white homeboy? Yeah. Okay, so I thought I was still being a boy. Raz took me to my first rave.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I told Raz. Raz was like, have you ever been to a rave? I was like, no. He was like, really? I said, yeah. He said, get in the car. I got in the car. We rolled out. Raz had this big white homeboy. Who was cute with tattoos and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I made the mistake. And I went back with him afterwards. I guess all the girls had always gone back with him afterwards. I always went home. But I thought I was just hanging out, right? Until the big white dude wanted to talk to me in the room. And he didn't want to talk. And I was like, no, wait. No. This is not what I gotta go home.
Wow.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I say still your friend. He was a really nice guy. He just wasn't my flavor.
Right, I get it. No worries, God. He's good. He's good. Yeah.
Is he telling myself?
He's still a homie. Yeah, is that's he? Jay. My homie, J211.
That's his name. J211. Yeah. Really sweet, really handsome guy. Ladies, if you ever meet J211, I don't know if he's married or whatever now, but go out with him. He'll treat you like a lady.
Yeah. Go back to the house with him.
He's very polite. He is. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's good too. I just thought I was a boy. So
that's hilarious.
Wow.
Am I wrong, Raz? I was always kind of dingy.
Yeah, I mean, Blue had a crush on you too.
I love me some Blue. I just wasn't adult enough for Blue.
Hilarious.
But for real, like I wish Blue would call me just so I could say what up, homie. But like I wasn't, you know, I just wasn't there. But you're not here to talk about me. I wasn't ready.
I love these stories.
Right. Me too.
I love it because it's called Cherry's World. And my goal with this show is to really introduce people into my world and the people that I love. And Raz, you're one of those people that I really love and honor and appreciate.
Thank you so much. I love you too.
No, I have a question.
What up?
Soul on Ice 2.
Right.
Tell us about it.
So, my first album came out in 1996 on Priority Records. So Priority Records, you know, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg. Actually, Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt came out on Priority. So
that's right.
I came out in 96. My album was called Soul on Ice. And it's actually my I call it my silver anniversary because I started working on that project in 94. And then I had negotiated and whatever, so it didn't come out until 96. So it's kind of my silver anniversary. It's almost 25 years for me, which is crazy. But I just felt like, you know, especially when you lose people like, you know, like Pac never got to celebrate his 10th anniversary. You know what I mean? Biggie. Nipsey won't, it's really sad. It's unfortunate. Yeah. So sometimes it's tragedy, you know, sometimes it's just life, you know, we're all going to pass away eventually. But I'm thankful that today, you know, I could, you know, I could say, hey, man, I've been doing this professionally for almost 25 years. Like, that's amazing. And I'm still breathing and, you know, I'm of, you know, sound mind and body and spirit, spiritually. So I just really, I'm being thankful to hip hop gave me a job. You know, everybody, you know, I didn't come into this to, you know, be, you know, the most famous guy in rap. That don't float my boat. Of course, we, you know, there's peaks and valleys of this thing, but hip hop has made people billionaires. You know what I mean? And it gave me a career. I've traveled the world with it. I'm continuing to travel the world with it. And this was more about homage to say thanks for the journey so far. I'm looking forward to what's coming next. So I wanted to kind of look back, do some analytics, analyze my journey and what have I learned from my mistakes? Like basically 3/4 of my life, I've been doing music. And it was about kind of looking, you know, looking at the journey and analyzing, you know, comparing and contrasting who I am, compared to society, throwing that mirror up and saying like, you know, I wrote Nature the Threat and I wrote all these socio-political songs. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I'd be like, well, are we better or worse? And I'm like, we're kind of worse, arguably. Like, if the world, you know, we got Trump.
Yeah.
Society, you know, they still, you know, think about this. And I won't get too political, but, you know, that's what Solo Nights is about. It's socio-political, it's philosophical. That police officer, you know, she got 10 years, but it's a dude that killed the police dog and he got 45 years.
Right.
Crazy. Hey, is that story true? Because I saw that. Is that story true?
I believe so.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
No. If you kill a police dog, it's like killing a police officer. That's how they try to make it.
And then, like, even like Michael Vick.
Right.
Served 2 years in the worst federal prison. Like.
Yeah, but meanwhile, Bernie Madoff then took 400, everybody, you know, ripped everybody off.
No.
You know, Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
No relation to Sherry. But, right.
But yes, absolutely. They put that ADHD medicine out that they need to give a little boy's breasts.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like,
and they don't care.
And nobody goes to jail. They pay a little fine and keep it pushing. They don't even have to admit guilt. Like, it's crazy that, you know, what our society is like. And so I felt like it was, after 25 years, the inventory of where our country is at, I wanted to kind of, you know, discuss that and philosophize on it. And I'm very happy, man. I'm so blessed. Justice League, you know, produced on it. You know, they do a lot of Rick Ross and all that. What's up, Ron? I'm almost finished.
You have some great features, too. Can you tell us about some of the people?
I got, I have Immortal Technique. I have Styles P from the Lox.
Oh.
CeeLo Green, Snoop Dogg.
What?
I'm forgetting people.
The list.
It's a lot of really dope people. It's not too many people, but it's the right people for the songs. Everlast did a song. We got a really dope record. Like, everybody that came and participated on this project, like, I'm really blessed and thankful. One of my sons is on it.
Oh, that's cute.
That's awesome. Yeah, my son Taj Austin. He got busy on my album.
Working with your baby?
Him and his brother, they're twins. So they're both very, very talented. They're actually, they got a song on a new soundtrack. What's the movie? It's kind of like Romeo and Juliet, but it's black people. It's coming out this month.
I don't know. That would be a Courtney question. You know, I still don't watch that
movie. I actually don't know that one either.
It's like they're on the run. It's like some Bonnie and Clyde. It's not Romeo and Juliet. It's like Bonnie and Clyde. It's the black man, the black dude, and the black girl.
I'm gonna look it up.
Like, he shoots a police officer. They pull him over and it.
I don't know the name. I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know the name.
Okay. They got a song on that soundtrack with them featuring Chance the Rapper. So, you know, it's exciting to watch. my kids, you know, I wouldn't have picked the entertainment industry as a career choice for them, but this is what they choose to do, and I'm proud of them. Blazing their own path.
Question: I hear that a lot. Like, people always ask me, "Was your daughter, when she's going to start to act? Why would you not choose entertainment for your kids?"
Because I know the heart, you know, the heartbreaks and the peaks and the valleys and the funny stylists and the fraudulence of some of these people and the disingenuousness, you know, and I don't, you know, I'm not like P. Diddy where I can insulate and make sure they win no matter what. So, you know, this is a, you know.
It's funny.
It's a lot of work and sometimes not the biggest payoff, but I truly enjoy it. For my kids, you know, I'm like my parents. I didn't, you know, well, my dad wanted, you know, he's a police officer. He wanted probably a police officer.
No.
There's some stability. He's a Marine. He wanted a Marine. I'm like, no, I'm going to hang out with the homies and with Blue and drink a lot and bust raps. That's my career choice, Dad. I love that.
I love it. You know, Courtney, just to let you know, I didn't know that LA had like a big underground hip hop whole rap scene. And these boys introduced me to like different clubs that I had never been to that were like offbeat and not like on the Sunset Strip, where I could walk in with my Adidas on and my hair two ponytails. I had so much fun, literally, growing up. I have to say, Raz kind of watched me grow up.
I did. We were both growing up. We were just dumb kids having fun. You know, I loved it because, like, honestly, you know, even Keenan Kale, like, a lot of us were just, you know, upwardly mobile young people, black kids in LA, just doing our stuff. But, you know, everybody broke bread, had fun, believed in each other, and did their stuff, you know. And, you know, I happen to be an LA native, so I'm a little bit of a hood rat. I like to run the streets a little bit. So I kind of knew, as we call them, the back streets. So I was showing Sherry some, you know, some of the back streets.
I was really sheltered. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no shit. Raz was like, right, come on, let's go. And I was like, there's a club in here? It looked all suspicious from the outside. Like, just some, it looked like nothing. And then you get in there and it'd be like the whole place was popping. I mean, Raz took me to the first party. I told you he took me to my first rave. Cops, helicopters, everything broken up. Raz pushed me through a fence. They pulled the hole in the fence, pushed me through the fence, and was like, come on, fool, run. It was holding my hand. I mean, it just adventures. A whole nother life.
It was an adventure. Yeah, I remember that. It was and it was crazy because
it was supposed to be like a benefit or something like that, and then the police raided the thing, and it was like, it was crazy. It was like some, it looked like a crazy little ride. I'm like, come on, get out of here. Let's get out of here before they pepper spray everybody. Let's go.
And Courtney, for me, it was just so like, wow, really? I was the girl who kind of grew up in Malibu, you know?
Right.
There was this whole other world.
So yeah, I had to show you the upside down.
You taught me life lessons, though, that I really needed, and I appreciate that. Now, this table book you got, right?
Yeah, I got a coffee table book. It's actually a companion piece with the album. So I partnered with my friend, my childhood friend. He owns Patchwork Studios here in Atlanta. He's one of my day one fans. He believed in me as a kid when I played by demo, my friend Curtis. And so he was, you know, his whole thing was, I'm pretty cerebral when I write. And some, and you know, because I'm a rapper's rapper. I'm a lyricist. I don't necessarily make the most, you know, party driven records. I do philosophy. I do Descartes in my music. It doesn't necessarily play well to dumb people is the best way I can explain it. So, what he realized was the strength. What people need, I go over people's heads sometimes lyrically. And he was like, what you should do is people, when they can visually see what you're saying, they can appreciate the depth of, you know, thought, that you utilize. You're not just rhyming words and gat, cat, rat. Like I talk, yeah. I'm a polysyllabic talker, period. So my normal conversations are, you know, I just have a bigger vocabulary. And what we did was I wanted to show the process. It's called rap music. And so I wanted to show the craftsmanship, you know, behind the result. People hear the song, they don't see the process. So what we did was we took photographs of all the actual written songs, because I still write in a book, and like a notebook. We photographed them, and you can see all the thought process, you know, and I kind of write in my own weird codex. I write my own code. To give you a for example, Busta Rhymes, when he writes, it's really amazing. Imagine you had a piece of notebook paper. He writes in the margin. So just that little corner in the left, all that stuff he's saying. And then the whole rest of the page is blank. So it's ill. It's like this ear. His process is different than mine, and it's a magnificent process. Rakim, they say, starts at the end. It's like he writes his book at the end. He writes the end and then goes all the way up to the beginning.
That's crazy.
So we all have these weird processes.
Right. Yeah.
Mine is different. I wanted to showcase my process. We filmed it. We kind of staged things that would be involved, like, you know, some Jameson, you know, whatever. So we kind of filmed it, you know, a pen, obviously, whatever. So we kind of staged it. And then we had an amazing artist from here in Atlanta named Maya Bailey. We transcribed it, so it was, you know, so it's legible also. You can see the thought process, then you actually can read it legibly. And then he did artwork around, inspired by the lyrics. So it's a really cool, it looks really cool. And it's not a hard read, you know, but it's all the lyrics to the new album is what it is.
And where can people purchase it?
You can get it if you go to patchwork.com. This is the second edition. Like, you know, we did this independently. And so, you know, initially, you know, we only did 500 copies, scared to death. And I, you know, the whole thing was like, people don't want to buy no music for $10 or 1 cent, 99 cent. So I'm scared to death, like $50. We got to come out the pocket for $500. I don't know, bro. Well, it costs $30 to make the book because it's not a cheap book.
It's a table book.
It's a coffee table book. So it's a fly book. We didn't want to cut no corners and make some garbage. Like, you know, go out, you know, let's go flat. Let's go big. Or don't go at all. So we did it. We sold out of those books, man. And then we still had supply and demand. And so we pressed up some more. We're almost sold out. I think we are, you know, we did another 200.
Like 25 books left.
Yeah, man, it's awesome.
Damn.
Get it before it's too late.
Too late. I want to patchwork.com.
So is it going to be too late one day? Because I'm definitely going to cop one. When people come to the Punky Brewster to see me, when they come to the set to see me, that's the book that's going to be on my coffee table in my dressing room.
Yes, congrats. You know what? I did read about that. Congrats. So
I'm going back to my day one.
What's it called? Is it actually called Punky Brewster?
It's Punky Brewster.
I love that. That is awesome.
Thank you. If you're in LA, when I'm in LA, you guys gotta stop by. It'll be fun.
Of course.
Hey, I got a question. Song, I'm actually looking at your album, So Long Ice, on Tidal right now. And the song you got with Snoop is called LL Cool J. What's that about?
All right. So the hook is actually he's saying you're giving me a reason to love them, not leave them. So originally I was going to call it Love Him and Leave Him, right? But every time I wrote it down, I didn't like it. I didn't like that title. There's also, for some reason, this particular album, a lot of Easter eggs up with LL Cool J, because I'm a big fan. He's the original GOAT. When people are talking about the top 50 list and all that, the GOAT debate started with LL Cool J, like the greatest of all times on the mic. So there's, like I said, there's about four or five different Easter eggs throughout the album with LL Cool J. And when I thought about it, I was like, well, he's ladies love Cool James, I'll be love him and leave him cool John, because that's my name. My government is John. So it's love him and leave him cool John is really the name of it. But okay. I figured it was kind of dope to have. And LL, it's, you know, it's kind of like a love song. He's like, because he's saying, you give me a reason to love them, not leave them. Who made the first love song in rap? DJ, I need love. So it's a tribute. It's just a tribute, shouting them out.
Okay, I want to go back real quick, Raz, because Courtney and I were having a conversation before you ever got on here. And he said, realistically, when women date like rappers and athletes and stuff like that, do they expect men not to cheat? And I said, hell yeah. So if you dated an actress or a singer or something like that, would you expect for her to be faithful?
I'm realistic, but I think women, first of all, they don't have to be an actress or a star. Women attractive women get offers all the time.
Absolutely.
Unattractive women get offers all the time. True. So I expect, you know, that person to just keep it 100 with me. If we've gotten to a point where we are dating and we've decided that we want to have a monogamous relationship, then honestly, I'm gonna hold her to that. I don't care what you do. You can be Oprah, you can be a doctor, you can be, we work at McDonald's. If we have decided that's what we're doing, I'm gonna hold you to it.
So it's all about.
And I may be a hypocrite because I know what you're gonna say.
I ain't gonna push you out. I ain't never gonna push you out. I was gonna say, for me, when I told him, it was all about telling the truth. I have more of a problem with you not telling the truth than cheating.
What? Right. Right.
Tell me what it is.
When anytime I've ever been in like a relationship and I was unhappy, I remember a girl asking me, my girlfriend at the time, she's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going to go fuck somebody I like. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I did it. I mean, it hurt her, but what was I gonna do? Make up a story about why I'm not coming home for the next 3 days? I'm out. I'm unhappy here. Now you can do with that what you want, because I'm going to go hang out with somebody I really like.
Damn.
These are the men that I grew up with, and that's why I say, you tell me the truth, I can deal with it. You lie to me, we got a problem.
So he better than me. I don't know if I could tell a woman nothing like that.
I would have to lie. Tell the truth, shame the devil, man, because
I feel you,
the reality is, if I can't remember, you got to keep lying to protect the other lie from the lie.
But you know what the biggest lie is, though? Lying to yourself that you can even play that game. Because everybody ain't even meant to play that game. Some people just naturally play, some people naturally, you know, that dude. And the biggest lie is the one you tell yourself that you can be that dude when you not that dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And that's very true. I agree totally with you. Half the time, I'm not interested in a monogamous relationship. Yeah. So that's one of the things I do tell women. Like, I'm still out here, you know, sampling. I'm at the buffet table. I just kind of want a little bit of chicken. I might want a burrito. I might want a slice of pizza. I don't know. I haven't committed. I don't know what I want to do yet. But, with that being said, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I understand, you know, if I'm not in that place, think about the shoe being on the other foot, where some dude's chasing you around, Sherry, and you might like him, but now he's, I want to be with you. And you're like, look, dude, I got a lot on my plate. I like you. We're cool. But I don't need all that. And now you're starting to feel like you're forcing me into a relationship. And so that flip side can happen where women want, like, bro, I don't want that. And these were from the beginning, you establish what your boundaries are, what your deal is. And until it's mutual, you can't renegotiate the terms.
Right. But like you said, like what you just said, I know for a fact I couldn't see myself telling a woman just like that. So that means that I'm not built to play that game. So I should stay away from that. You know what I mean? That's not me. I couldn't tell no woman, hey, I'm gonna be gone for the next 3 days.
I have done it more than once, brother, man. Trust me. I'm out.
He was like, well, you lie to the one that you love. I said, don't lie to me, respect me. I'd rather you respect me than lie to me. Respect is bigger than love.
Well, you know what? This is the other part of it. If somebody asks me something, I'm like, don't ask questions that you don't want the answer to. Mm. I've told women that many a times, like, you know, like, did you, I'm like, bro, if you got to ask me, you got an inclination. So do you really want this answer? Mm-hmm. How about I'm going to give you enough time to retract that and walk away? Because everything else is just going to make you more upset. But if you already know that, I've already established that I'm not interested in a monogamous relationship, that falls in your court. You can accept it or reject it. You know, I'm built for it. I've been monogamous. If I'm fulfilled, if that person makes me happy, we built a friendship, we have that rapport, that respect. I mean, at the end of the day, I think anybody ever really wants is to be loved and love someone that loves them and respects them and, you know, believes in them and got their back, is in their corner. But, you know, we're all, you know, sometimes it's just a timing thing. Sometimes you meet people at the wrong time. Yeah. So, until I'm ready, sometimes, like, we all come with our own, with our luggage and our, you know, yeah. Our backstory and our baggage and our, you know, and our own issues. And then we got all, you know, we're all trying to accomplish these goals. And if somebody wants to pull me down just so we can be together, then you ain't the one for me anyway. I want somebody that says, babe, go get them. Do what you need to do. Matter of fact, how can I help? Because I want to tell a woman that and say, look, I believe in you. If you got to go handle stuff, I'll probably miss you. But you go handle what you need to handle, you know.
And that's hard. Do you think that being an entertainer and having a relationship is hard in itself?
It is. Some people don't get it. It's just like my hours, my schedule, what I need to do. You know, they may not understand that if you work, you know, whatever that 9-to-5 job is.
The first artist I ever was in the studio with was Raps. And I believe it was after we had rapped, so it was late. It was probably like 12 o'clock at night. And we went by the studio, and I think we all ate and watched Jerry Springer together. And literally, he was in there writing. He had a session. Can I say names?
Yeah.
He was in there with Corrupt and Foxy Brown.
Yeah.
And he was in there working, and it was like 12 o'clock at night. And I don't remember what we were eating. It was probably like Denny's or something. And we chopped it up for a little while. We ate, and then he went back to work, and we left.
Yeah.
But it was in the middle of the night, you know? So women and men have a problem with that. Like, I couldn't go back at the time I was dating somebody, and I said, oh, I was arising blue, and we were in the studio. And they were like, what was you doing? And it wasn't anything like what he made it out to be. He didn't last very long. Because he tried to make it into something that, I was on a date. Nigga, I was eating Denny's. We was watching Jerry Springer chill.
Right. Facts.
So, I'm sorry, Courtney. What about the state of hip hop? I know that's one thing that Courtney wanted to know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Were you?
I feel like it's the same as always been. There's some good music. There's some people making good music, and then there's a lot of people not making good music. That's normally what it's always been. I just think now we have direct access to everything. So it's just a tool. It's the internet. So whether that's TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, whatever floats your boat, it gives everybody the ability to be seen. And so I don't knock it. It's just if aesthetically I don't like it, I don't deal with it. I don't wave with it. If aesthetically I like it, I have so much more access to find the things that I like. So I don't worry about it. It enables me to. It enables everybody to reach everybody in the world. I think the only thing with social media is it definitely it became a relationship wrecker, because now the dude from Compton that normally would only be in a 10-mile radius has met this girl that in Tokyo, and now he's sending her dick pics and whatever is going on. And then it's unrealistic. Like everybody's got way too many options. Like, you know, stop chasing waterfalls.
yeah.
You know, so yeah, I don't think the music is suffering. Honestly, the past 3 years have been amazing albums. Like, you know, it may not be the most popular because right now America's brain is into trap, into, you know, it's into what is quote unquote like popular right now is a little less lyrical and a little more like everything's kind of a song. Mm-hmm. Like the rappers don't rap, they kind of sing and it's a little auto-tune and they it's mumble rap, that's what we call it. So and so I don't really know where the hook is and where the verse start because it all sounds the same. And that's if that's what floats. It's female friendly music. But I'm a man, and so I don't run around talking to girls like I'm a gun. I don't talk like that. I'm a man. I talk like this. So I'm gonna put music that like this, and hopefully women, you know, there's an audience for everything. If that's what first of all, the demographics for rap right now is 13 to 23 year old girls, specifically. For real, that's what A&R and the labels, they want to market to 13 to 23 year old girls, specifically white girls, because they have the more disposable income.
Wow.
I'm a 21 year old man. No, but no, for real, even when I was 17, I was neither of those three. I've never been a girl. I was 13, but when I was 13, I was running with a 17-year-old.
Right.
I have nothing in common, and especially not a white girl. So why would I make music? That's kind of rapey. It's kind of R. Kelly-ish to me to make these songs that gyrate. There's a lot of gyrated strip club songs, and then it's a lot of lies. I give you this, I buy you red bottoms. Get out of here. I do bands in the strip club. Really?
Yeah,
you're a trick. You're not the pimp. So I'm not making those songs about nigga. You didn't tell me nothing about the, you know, my sister graduated college. I bought her a Bentley. You talking about some girls you don't even know,
right?
Like, you didn't say my wife that held me down. I bought it. Nigga, this girl that don't like you, that for dances on you for money for 2 minutes. You gave her $1,000. You threw it at her. You're an idiot. That's a horrible business model.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen it firsthand. I was like, wow.
Yeah. And the other part is I always try to tell these people, you know, when Drake does it and Chris Brown, they're incorporated. They're LLCs. So that's a promotion for them. They can write that off. What are you doing, dumb guy?
Do you look at Drake as like as a rapper?
Drake's an entertainer.
Yeah. He's like Diddy. He's like Diddy. Yeah.
Yeah. He Kanye too. They're all entertainers.
Whoa, Kanye.
Yeah, they're entertainers. They, if you don't write no raps, you ain't doing the sport that I'm doing.
As crazy as Kanye is now, you don't look at him as a rapper.
He don't write raps. How could he be a rapper?
News to me. I didn't know that.
He don't write no bars. That's everybody else writing that. So they rappers. He just, that's Milli Vanilli. Sock puppet.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that what you think he's a
Milli Vanilli. Sock puppet.
Kanye West. Kanye doesn't write his own shit.
No, he don't. No, he don't. And Drake don't write. So if you don't write, you ain't playing my sport. Put it like this. Put it like this. If LeBron came out, you know what I'm saying, the game start, LeBron come out, and then the little Mexican nigga jumped out his socks and started doing the dunks, why do I care about LeBron? I want Pedro. I want the little Mexican nigga Pedro, because Pedro's scoring all the points. I don't care about I don't care about your brand. Like, I don't care about these niggas' brands. That shit, that's Ronald McDonald. So if LeBron didn't do the dunks and Pedro doing a jump, I don't want the Air Pedros. I don't want the LeBron.
You see why I love him, Courtney?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm from Chicago, so I didn't. That's news to me right there. Okay.
Yeah. About, yeah. Trust me. What's his name? From what's his name? He always, I mean, he used to be one of Kanye. He from the Chi too. I forgot my homie name, man. He's a dope lyricist, but he wrote Jesus Walks and all that stuff. I can't think of the homie name right now. Yeah, Kanye don't pin, bro.
I love it.
He don't pin like that.
Not to change the subject on Kanye, because that could go so many different places. But Raz, you were one of the first people that ever taught me about knowledge of self.
Uh-huh.
And I have to thank you as a woman, because I was young and I thought I knew who I was, but because of you, I really started studying. So
that's awesome.
When Raz says that he doesn't make music for idiots, he doesn't make music for idiots, and he doesn't have dumbass conversations either.
So,
as a young girl, I remember sitting there, you said something about manifestation, and you were talking about knowledge of self.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid, and I was like, manifestation? Like, manifesting this hamburger I'm about to grub? And you made me go deeper. How did you gain your knowledge so young of who you were, knowledge of self, the 48 laws of power? I remember right. You gave me homework.
Yeah, I probably did. I don't remember doing that, but I probably did. That sounds like a Razzcast thing to do some point.
It was in the middle of the night. We were talking. We were all out. Raz gave me homework and made me go home to read. And I did. And I'm thinking, it's part of who grouped me, but how old were you when you got this knowledge of self and learned about manifestation and all this other stuff?
But you know what? My journey started, my mom's a really, really smart woman and a great human. I had to do a report on Christmas, of all things. So it was about seventh grade, maybe. And lucky for us, we had Encyclopedia Britannica at the house. I grew up, downstairs there was a piano and those Encyclopedia Britannica. I'll never forget that. Ever since I can remember those things. I was garbage on the piano. I thought I'd become like, Beethoven one day, Amadeus, Mozart. I was garbage. But all my sisters and them could play. But I knew it was something down there that I was supposed to be messing with. So it ended up being those encyclopedias.
Yeah.
I had to do the report on Christmas, and when I got the Christmas, the C encyclopedia, at the end of it said C pagan holidays. I grew up Catholic, and then my mom is Christian, so when I think pagan, I think the devil. So why would Jesus Day be C Devil Day in this book? And so I went to my mother, and when I asked her, why does it say this? Most people would have shut it down. And what I realized is that she needed me to find the truth on my own, because everybody runs around proclaiming things based on what they've been told and not what they actually have researched and know to be true. And so she said, you got to read it yourself. And that opened that door. And then you start, cultural anthropology and history and all this other stuff, and realizing things ain't, Christopher Columbus ain't discovered nothing. And first of all, he never even got here to America. Aside from that, you can't discover something that God already got niggas on it.
Yes.
So you start using some analytical, thinking and realizing that they have mistaught us on purpose.
Right.
And we got to strip that shit away. Change is mental first, and then everything else happens. So I had to change my way of perceiving the world, the way I perceive myself. And so that started, to answer your question, probably like seventh, eighth grade.
Well, thank you, because I was
hella
young. I don't even know if I was 18. I might have been 17, 18 around there.
Yeah, we were little dumb kids. We were out there acting up.
Yeah, and you're probably one of the reasons why I homeschool. because you made me search for the truth, learn the truth, and now I'm teaching my daughter instead of letting them teach her. So thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
Damn. Yes, that's dope.
When I said this whole day is really about men who made me who I am, I meant it.
Wow.
That's awesome. Like,
welcome to Cherry's World. We got Raz Kaz in the house.
Yeah, that's dope.
I'm not going to keep you forever, Raz. I know Courtney got some more questions, and I want to know, what you doing next, bro? Where can we see you next? What else?
Well, right now, I'm in the now, so I'm trying to, I'm trying not to, not to overreach. Right now, I really believe in this project. There's 7 billion people on this planet, and most of them don't know about it. So that's my job, is to go out.
But you're traveling.
I'm in Atlanta now for this rap seminar thing. It's called A3C. I'm performing tonight in a little bit, and then in about a week I fly out to Europe with Exhibit for about 27 dates all through Europe. So really excited about that. I'll be gone for about 2 months.
Congratulations.
Like a month and a half. I'm sorry.
That's where the real money's at out there, huh?
Yes. Well, America's the biggest market for rap. The second biggest market for rap, second and third, is Germany and France. So people don't realize that, the yen spins, the euro spins, the pound spins, the peso, they all add up. So instead of trying to force it, you got to go where it's an easy sell. Hip hop is alive and well in Europe, in Africa, in South Africa. And, if everybody want to be trap stars over here, then that's on them. So I go where, my product is more appreciated. There's little pockets in LA, and there's little pockets in New York, and there's little pockets everywhere in Oakland. But, they really support. And I'm talking about new fans, not like everybody's 35 or 40 years old. I'm talking about kids that grew up that are like 21 years old, playing Tribe Called Quest, because they love the culture. It's just the same way, like, we wasn't around when Stevie Wonder was, putting out them songs. But but because our parents put us up on it, we learned that appreciation, and we understand the how dope Marvin Gaye. I wasn't around when Marvin Gaye was popping, but it becomes a part of the culture because we know the history and what's going on. Yeah, so that's the same thing. Like in Europe, there's 21-year-old people that just love hip hop. They grew up on it. It's crazy when I'll come across somebody that's like 18 years old. It happens. It happens sometimes even here, in the States. And they they talking about Nature of the Threat, my first album, it's Solo on Ice. I'm like, dude, that song older than you, bro. How you right. know that? But they got taught well, where they know, good music. And the same way we got taught, jazz music and knowing, Miles Davis and, what I'm saying? Like, we got to get back to that. Right now, we're on some microwave, unappreciative. Everything's like instant gratification music, and a lot of this music don't got substance. I want to make music with substance, and I want to, I want to give it to people that want that appreciate it. And ironically, a lot of those people are in Europe now.
Well, that's funny you say that. That's what I was just telling Cherry. I said, I think the desire for substance is the reason why they're bringing back shows like Punky Brewster and, all these other retro shows that they're bringing back, because it's only so much that reality gimmick is going to, it's only so far you can go with that, talent at the end comes out, Hey, what do you think about Snoop? Because you got him on the album. You heard about Snoop performance at KU?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. So last weekend, KU invited Snoop to perform at Family Night. And Snoop came in and performed. And he had strippers on the stripper pole. He had a dog smoking a joint with a money gun flashing in the stands and stuff. It was a dope. I watched it on one of those websites. It was 30 minutes. It was dope. I mean, I seen Snoop in concert before. It was dope as hell. And but a lot of people was upset. And Snoop's response on Howard Stern was, when you pay for a Snoop Dogg concert, you get a Snoop Dogg concert. Then people knew what they was getting. I got a conspiracy. I'm a conspiracy guy. I got a conspiracy for that. I'm going to break it down to y'all. in a second, but what do you think about that?
I agree. I tend to agree with Snoop on that. Like, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. This is, you know, murder was the case, sipping on gin and juice. So knock it off. You knew what was gonna happen.
Yeah.
I would not think family night with Snoop Dogg. Like, I have a daughter. She's 5. I love Snoop. That's Unk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna take her to see Unk. I'm just not.
Right.
But this was a college family. This was KU. It was college family night. So
okay.
Me, these are adults. So I don't think you would bring babies to that. It's still like, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of like Snoop on that too. But here's the thing. KU comes to find out. KU is, don't quote me on this, but they're being investigated for fraud and money laundering with paying athletes and stuff like that. So to me, I think it was a front to bring Snoop in, to bring
make change all the narrative.
Exactly.
Right.
Because everybody's talking about Snoop being there with naked women and stuff, and not talking about the controversy they got going. I'm a conspiracy guy. That's what I believe.
I am a firm believer that where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That. If it was family night or whatever, but it's college family. Come on, man. We're 18. Everybody's drinking and smoking. Adderall'd up. They doing a gang of coke.
Adderall.
Everybody, they fucking all over the place. Yeah. Knock it off. You know what they was. And you ask Snoop Dogg. It's like asking Too Short not to say bitch. Stop.
Good luck, right?
It could have been.
That's half the song, and that's my favorite part. If Too Short do some shit and don't say bitch, I'm leaving.
That is real.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it a buck. I'm just, you know, I'm being honest.
I got one more question about your album, though. The song you got, you got a song called Gingivitis. And I'm about to check out the whole album later on tonight when
it's
I go.
Hold the thought. I just want to say this. Remember the question. Keep the question. Please, you know, you can't go to the movies and then, like, fast forward to the action scene. You got to watch the movie. Please listen to it in context. Give it a run because it's a journey, and I want to take you somewhere. So I'm asking that you listen to it straight through. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at all the titles and stuff, and LL Cool J caught my eye, and then Gingivitis. What's that about?
Okay, so you know, gingivitis is, you know, gum disease. You end up having halitosis, bad breath.
Right.
So in rap, we talk about spitting. We spit darts, like real lyricists spit. He's a spitter. That's how we qualify each other. Like, nah, he's a spitter. Right. Like, he a rapper? Like, nah, bro, dude, spit. Right. So you want to be a nasty spitter, hence, you know, that's the gingivitis. Like, especially in a time, like the hook basically says, like, and then you've heard people say this, like, talk that shit. Talk your shit.
Right.
So once again, that's that metaphor of gingivitis. You would be talking shit. Your breath would be stinking. So we spit in these nasty bars while everybody else is doing this watered down, you know, singy songy mumble rap.
Mm-hmm.
So gingivitis is the signification of being a real spitter.
Do you feel like when you, because just like the third or fourth time you like said, and I kind of agree with you, but being an MC and an older MC, when you keep talking like mumble rap, do you get a lot of like, yo, you old dude hating on
No, because this is that internet groupthink troll stuff.
Yeah.
I once again, it's called rap.
Right.
Not called who got the most dreadlocks in different colors. It's not called I got 7 face tattoos. It's not called how tight my pants are today. It's not called what my car looks like or who I'm dating. This is called if I say I'm better than Jeter or whoever played baseball, I get out there and I get struck out every time. I can't catch shit. I'm not gonna be playing baseball. I'm not a baseball player. This is called rap.
Right.
Now I'm not going to allow groupthink of morons that start dictating to me about something. I'm passionate. I'm a fan first of this stuff. And so I have noticed that it's only so long that you know, that's like changing the narrative. Oh, you old and you out of touch and this the new. Like, it's trash, bro.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
just call it what it is. I'm not
that's,
bad at it.
That's that you being honest again. That's the
yeah. I'm like, look, you know, I call myself the elephant whisperer. I walk into the room. If I see the elephants, I'm like, bro, there's 7 elephants in here. Come on, let's stop. Like, can we balance these elephants? Let's figure out why they're here. You know, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so you the type, if you in the studio, they put on the shit. You go. You might be nodding your head, and they'd be like, "What you think?" I'll probably be like, "Oh yeah, that shit tight." You'll be like, "Nah, that shit trash."
I'm not even gonna walk in that room. I'm adios, bro. I'm gonna jump on my phone and act like, because I'd rather not tell you. If you don't know that shit trash, why should I tell you? If you put me on the spot, I'm gonna be like, it might win for other people. Like, aesthetically, it's not really my cup of tea. I mean, there's a political way to say stuff. I don't have to like shit on people, but aesthetically, I mean, I could be perfect, bro. Coolio is my big brother. I came out of jail and took me on the Lollapalooza tour. You know, always looked out for me.
Wow.
I used to tell Coolio, I was a kid. I used to tell Coolio, like, that shit whack, cuz. I used to say, I'm telling my, just won a Grammy, platinum.
Word.
Yeah. I'm like, that's whack.
Damn.
And he loved and believed in me and told me I was dope. And the nicest gesture he could ever do was let me keep it 100, because I'm not no yes man. I don't want to. If I got shit on my face, tell me.
Yeah.
I may not want to hear it, but I need you to tell me so I can improve myself. Mm. I would tell him like I don't like that beat. I don't like how you said that part right there. I don't hate. I just don't like things. And the one thing I can do is, if you ask me my opinion, I'm gonna tell you why. Because when people hear my stuff. And then they say, I don't like that song. And then I'm like, well, that's fine. But help me out. Explain to me what you don't like about it. Because that might help improve me. Now, if you say that's too lyrical, I'm going to say it's called rap. So fuck your opinion. So that's going to happen immediately. So I don't play my music for morons because I didn't design it for them.
Right.
Raz, your music, tell us where to find it.
Yeah. Oh, where to find it.
Yes,
I'm on all platforms, everything, Tidal, Spotify, YouTube, you know, whatever.
We'll put up the little links and everything too.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Yeah, it's Solo Nights 2. My name is Raz Cass. Once again, you know, just we got videos out, with content. You can catch me on Instagram at RAS_KASS, and I will get it, you know, it's all there. You can look at it, you can click links and get right to whatever you want.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much for writing me back. Like, I was so excited. I saw Raz was like on this press tour and he's got this new music out. And I was like, I wonder, I know Cherry's World's not like a big deal like he's doing. He's like on 92.3 The Beat with Big Boy.
Yeah, and
I'm like, Raz,
I love you to death anytime.
I love you too. And I really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here.
No worries. I'm sorry I was late. That's my fault. Yeah.
Raz. I already told him. I said, if Raz ain't changed, he gonna be on Raz Cass time.
No, you know what? I'm better now, except for the fact that I forgot to click the reminder shit.
No.
Like calendar or whatever, alarm clock.
I was gonna text you.
I saw the text. I was charging my phone. I'm like, oh shit, what an idiot. And I'm in New York. I mean, I'm in Atlanta, so the time difference. The 3:00, like, yeah, I messed up. But my bad.
Thank you. You're good.
Thanks, Doc.
Raz, I also work for Fever Magazine. Is it okay if I ask you for like a high res picture and we take some of this?
I got you.
Words. I will not. You know. No.
Of course. Yeah. Let's do it. Can you? I don't know if I have your email. So can you text me your email?
Yeah.
All right.
And stay in touch.
I will. Okay. I'll be back Sunday. So I'll just hit you up. I'm home for like a week. So maybe I'll catch up with you if you have any time.
I don't live there anymore.
Oh, shit.
I moved away. I didn't have babies. And I'll text you where I am. But okay. I had a baby and my whole life has changed. And I'm very happy being gone.
That's awesome. Okay.
Thank you. I will be back the beginning of next month, though, to work. But I think you might be gone.
I'll be in Europe.
Well.
We'll figure it out.
Hopefully Punky's gonna stay going and I'll be able to punk.
You're gonna kill it. You guys, I'm gonna go watch. You know I'm gonna support.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, you guys be good.
Thanks. Good meeting you, bro.
Nice to meet you too, Courtney. Peace.
Thank you so much, Ralph.
No worries.
I love that dude. For real, for real.
Yeah.
I love him. Like I said, I'm always amazed by the people that, I think I sound like a broken record, but I keep saying this, but I'm always amazed by the people that you know, and not just the people that you know, because it's like, you know, it's one thing to know somebody, but for somebody to actually like really with you, and I know we shouldn't be saying with you because we're, you know, you got bigger things happening, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, it's okay to say that. It's okay to keep it real. Like, I'm not sure, like, some things is just what it is, and I fucked with Raz. Every time I see Raz, he's the same consistent person.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people, some people get Hollywood on you, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know Hollywood, he was doing 92.3 to beat. But my boo still said, tell me when, I'll be there. And what did I say at the beginning of the interview? He on Razzcast time, but he coming. I knew he was coming, I just didn't know when he was coming.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.